The following shiur has been presented by Rav Shmuel Binyamin Honigwax, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
The Gemara says that the halacha is that if a person buys a field with money, in a makam shekaisim is a shtar, a place where the minig is to write a shtar, so then the halacha is that the money is not koina. But if both parties agreed that the money will be koina, then the money is koina. So it depends on the agreement of the parties. If the parties didn't say anything, then the kinyan doesn't take place until the shtar is written. But if the parties stipulated and said that the kinyan should take place right away, then the kinyan is chal right away. We one time had a question, Dintaira, that somebody was selling a house to somebody else, and the seller didn't negotiate on his own. He negotiated through a manager. The manager negotiated with the buyer what the price would be, and obviously the manager came back to the seller and told him about the price, but the manager was being paid off by both the seller and the buyer, so the manager ended up working to a certain extent for the buyer, and he set a pretty low price. The seller wasn't so crafty, and he didn't have such good business skills, and therefore he didn't realize that he was being underpaid. So they went into contract, and then before the closing, before the deed was actually signed, the buyer approached the seller. He handed him part of the payment in cash, and he told him that, "I'll give you the cash right now, but it's only if the kinyan is chal right now." This is what the buyer said in Bezin. The seller didn't remember exactly what they spoke about. He didn't remember this thing that he said it should be, that the kinyan should take place right now. He just remembers that he gave him the cash, and before the deed was actually signed by the seller realized that he had been duped, and he wanted to back out of the entire sale. The question was, can he still back out, since he already had accepted the cash? And the acceptance of cash, even though it wasn't the entire cash, nevertheless will be considered the beginning of the payment of the money, and therefore it would have a din of a kinyan kesef, and the kesef would technically accomplish that the kinyan should take place at that time. However, in this case, as a makam shekaisim is a shtar, since the minig is to sign the deed. Until you sign the deed, no kinyan has taken place. Therefore, and since the deed was not yet signed, perhaps the kinyan should not be chal. Or would we say that since the seller claims that they had stipulated clearly that the cash itself would accomplish the sale, and the deed would not have to be signed, the sale would be chal right away with the giving of the cash, maybe we should say that the sale did take place with the giving of the cash, and we don't have to wait for the deed, and the seller would not be able to back out. So obviously, if indeed the seller would be saying the truth, then it certainly sounds like he should win this case, because he claims that it had been stipulated clearly that they said that the kesef should be koina. However, the buyer doesn't remember. So halacha should be bari v'shema lav bari adif, that when I come to somebody and I tell him that you owe me $100, and he says I don't remember, halacha is lav bari adif, that the person who's holding the money, the muchzik, wins. So if so, the seller in this case is the muchzik, he's the marakama, he should win this dintaira, and therefore he shouldn't have to sign over the deed. However, the halacha is in siman ayin hey that although bari v'shem lav bari adif, but lots of today shemayim, we say bari adif. So although the halacha is that Bezin can't force him to sign the deed, nevertheless he is mechuyev lots of today shemayim, and as far as the schedule with Hashem is concerned, he is obligated to sign the deed and complete the sale with the seller. However, there are a number of other factors that have to be taken into consideration in this situation. Before I move on to other factors, let's just point out another point that the Gemara says that the Paiskim say that according to some Paiskim, by Meicher Sadeum Pnei Rasa, in a case where a person is selling his land because the land is not such a good land, that he's suffering losses because of the land, the halacha is that according to some Paiskim, that even the Makam Shekaisim is a shtar, nevertheless Kesef is Kaina, because the Meicher would like to complete the sale as quickly as possible. It's an argument in the Paiskim. So in this case, it happened to be that the reason why the seller was selling is because he wasn't having such good hatzlacha with the land. He was not being matzliach with the manager. The manager wasn't able to bring in the revenues that he had hoped to bring in, and therefore the seller wanted to sell. So in this case, even if we accept what the buyer said that he wasn't sure whether or not this had been stipulated clearly, nevertheless, it's very possible that we would still have to uphold the sale because of those shittas in the paiskim. So between these two factors, we would have said that the seller would be obligated to complete the sale. Nevertheless, there's a few other factors over here. Number one, in this situation, there was a no. The seller had been cheated on the price, like we said before, since the manager was the one negotiating the price. The manager had been paid off by the buyer. The manager significantly understated the property's value to the seller, and therefore the seller had been cheated. And the buyer admitted to this in the Taira that he certainly was getting a very, very good steal of a deal, and he would never sell this property for the amount of money that he had agreed to pay. That was but the question on that is that we know ain't no karkois. Karka is no din of ain't no. When a person sells land to somebody else and the buyer either overpays or underpays, the halacha is we cannot void the sale because of the halacha of ain't no. And not only that, the aggrieved party has no recourse to collecting the money that he had overpaid or underpaid in a din taira or been underpaid in a din taira. That's the halacha of karka ain't no karkois. So, according to that, since the person seems to be selling karka, one would say that there wouldn't be a din of ayna. Nevertheless, there's a big question in the paiskim: what's the halach of a house? Does a house have the din of karka as far as all the halachas of karka, as far as shmira, that there's no din of shmira on karka, and there's no din of ayna on karka, there's no din of shvu on karka. So what's the halacha of a house that's not actual land, it's raw materials that were built onto the land? So there's a big question in the paiskim, and the halacha is that we're not mighty from a muchzik. So in this case, we would say that the halacha should be as follows, that the portion of the price that had been paid for the land, obviously, we would say there's no din of ayna, and that obviously the seller would have to go through and complete the sale. However, the portion of the price that is associated with the improvements to the land, the house, the structure that had been built on the land, as far as that's concerned, we would say a din of ayna, and we would not obligate the seller to complete the sale since there had been ayna. So, in that case, Bezin would come out with some kind of pshar over here, because the Mekkah was chal to a certain extent and the Mekkah wasn't chal to a certain extent, so it would be a very, very confusing situation. We would have to decide exactly what to do in that situation. However, in this case, there's another two factors that have to be taken into consideration. Number one, even if the sale did take place, we'll see in the Gemara later on in Kedushin that the halacha is that if a person sells land to somebody else and he says, on condition that I'm going to sign the document, I'm going to write a shtar for you, the halacha is that the seller is not obligated to sign the shtar and to give the shtar to the buyer. So in this case, we would say that 100% in Din Torah, of course, the sale takes place, and the land and the house, maybe according to some paiskim, would belong to the buyer. True, but nevertheless, the seller would not necessarily be obligated to sign the deed, and then the buyer would not be able to resell the house, or we wouldn't be able to get a mortgage on it. So that could throw a monkey wrench into the entire procedure. Another very important factor over here is that, besides the fact that the seller doesn't have to sign the shtar, and besides the fact that there was a no, there was another complication. It seems that although the manager had returned to the seller and told him what the price that he had agreed to the buyer was, so the seller technically agreed to the price, nevertheless, there were certain conditions that had been agreed to by the manager and the buyer that the seller says that he remembers clearly that he did not agree to these conditions. One of these conditions was that a certain amount of money was going to be held in escrow for the buyer if there would be issues with the township or other kinds of problems with the property, that the buyer would be able to take money out of the escrow account and pay for those problems, to solve those problems. So, and the seller claims that he had not been apprised of that agreement at all. So as soon as the seller found out about this discrepancy between what he thought he was going to receive and what he ended up realizing that he would receive, he immediately said that I want to avoid the sale. I want to stop the sale. I don't want to go through with this. Then subsequently, the buyer said, okay, you know what? I'm not going to put the money in escrow. But it's very likely that that would be considered too late, since at the time that the seller accepted the kesef, he took the money into his possession, and we're saying that it was the taking of the money that obligated him to go through with the sale, because kesef is kaina, since it was stipulated, since it was meiches deim neirasa, since at that time when he accepted the money he did not fully understand the terms that had been agreed to, therefore his agreement to the terms was not complete, and therefore we would say that there was no meeting of minds as far as the price of the land is concerned. Since from the buyer's standpoint, certain money was going to be held in escrow. From the seller's standpoint, that money was not going to be held in escrow. They had not agreed to the price of the land, and therefore it's like a sale without psika. We know that if somebody sells something to somebody and he says, let's make up the price later, and he does a kinyan, but the price has not been agreed to, then the halacha is that the sale doesn't take place. So in this case also, one would argue that since the time that the money was going to be paid had not been agreed to, and not only the time, but also whether or not the money was going to be paid had not been agreed to, because the seller thought he was going to get the money regardless, and the buyer thought he's only going to pay the money if there are no issues with the township or other kind of issues that he had stipulated with the manager. So therefore, the price had not been agreed to at all. And if a person would want to argue that, nevertheless, the manager who was acting as a shliach for the seller had agreed to the price with the buyer, and therefore, even though the seller was not apprised of the fact that the money was being held in escrow, nevertheless, the manager who was acting as his agent would be entitled to make that stipulation for him, and it would be binding on the seller. But that wouldn't be a good argument either, because since we said that there's oino on this sale, that the seller was being underpaid, Allah in the Shulchan Aruch is that if a shliach sells something and he agrees to a price that's oino, where the seller is being underpaid, the shlichus is not valid, and the seller can say that I sent you to help me, not to mess me up, and therefore the shlichus has no validity, and therefore the seller can back out of what the shliach agreed to. So since the seller himself didn't agree to it, and the agent of the seller, the manager, didn't have a right to agree to the terms that had been agreed to, therefore the halacha would be that the sale would be null and void.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.